Club, fly flashy, grown classy, still turning it up. Saturday mornings, no walk of shame, we fresh up. 950 lounge, that's my guilty pleasure. I don't miss my favorite show, I put everything on hold. Work the baby, even the baby sitting low. When 950, come on, don't bother. I'm locked in 10 to 1, no problem.
Individuals that sit beside me. But in any event, we have a brother here. He's no stranger to the show. He's been a political figure. He's somebody on the front line. Somebody who's a Bronx guy that's always down for the cause. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Not Be Not. My brother, Mike Blake. What's going on, bro?
Why were y'all shaking your heads right there?
What?
About the accomplished individual.
Because we know that's full of... Nah, I can't use the words because I'm going to get yelled at by Ed.
Starts with a B and ends with a BS.
BS. It ain't hate. Hey, we, that's
Mike,
the BS
Mike,
you just hit us
with. You know what you have done in life, man. You don't need us to give you that credit. Okay. You already know what you've done, brother.
What was it, shaking towards me or because y'all didn't accept it for you?
No, he called us this accomplished.
It was everybody.
Right?
It was everybody.
No, no. Yeah.
Everybody getting love.
No,
right,
because
there.
When you give credit, it's super shady, bro.
Oh, that's
no,
what it is.
But say that he don't like saying our names. He think he gonna get our names wrong. We call
you
us
guys
every day.
You know, you never go clap. Let's go.
You see what I'm saying? You understand?
I Lionel Richie.
You know the shade.
Oh, and you Teddy or you Harold Melvin?
No, he's Lionel Richie.
Lionel Richie was in the Blue Notes.
Oh, Lordy.
Mike, there's a lot going on, man. I can't thank so much for coming by today. We appreciate you coming on again. Mm. And in this time, you know, in the studio, the last time we had you, was still dealing with some stuff, which we still are. But
that's right.
We're glad to have you, physical presence. We want to start with Roe versus Wade. Obviously, I know when this came about last week, you're one of the first people I go to when I look at, like, what's happening. It's a pecking order I have, and you're one of the first people I go to, and I know you was front and center, like, this is crazy, and, you know, we should not be ruling over women's bodies. What's your thoughts on this whole situation? Somebody who's been in those political rooms and had those conversations with people, what's your thoughts with this, and how they've been trying to do this for many years, and now, for whatever reason, it seems to be happening?
This is all about power. Let's make sure we're clear about this. This is a old white man mindset of Alito of believing you should not have the ability to do what you want, period. And this is, yes, it's about abortion, but it's about everything. This is about going after black folk, brown folk, gay folk, everybody.
Yeah.
And until we recognize that this has been a 50-year dance by these cats. And they will not stop until you defeat them, playing on the edges. And this has been happening for a while, right? You look at 2021, there was 109 changes in 19 states, right? Like, these cats are off the chain. I still wonder, how would men feel if laws were changed on the books to say what you can do with your body?
Right.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I mean, because I know we spoke about it before. Me and Kev a couple of times spoke about it. And I was saying, yeah.
Was this when you were recognized as an impressive individual? Or
No.
It was not that time.
No. See, like I said, see, that's why. But anyways, but like I was saying.
The dark comedy of Michael Blake.
Yeah, right? The whole thing with it, but I was always looking at it because... Yes, this is the way he worded his his summation about the whole thing about, like, oh, I'm thinking that we're looking at the aspect of, if it's not in the Constitution, if it's not in the situation, whatever he said, the way he said it, mm-hmm. was that it's a way to disrupt everything that was done in the 20th century.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I look at that really bothers me, because I know we had a little bit of talk about that, was that the situation of the Roe versus Wade is that if you sit there and take away the women's rights, first things first, the biggest group that's looking at this is the far right evangelists. So the whole thing is they're looking to try to put their gospel laws on the books, which, you know, is supposed to be a separation between church and state, because those are the only ones who's really looking at trying to say that the womb, you know, the woman should not have abortions. And I have a problem with that, because we're not supposed, because, you know, Thomas Jefferson and all of them back in the days did not want religion into the states. And that was the biggest thing that he always fought against. And now you look at it, you have so much religion coming into the things, like, okay, you go into a federal building, Ten Commandments, money, the money itself, you have In God We Trust. Mm-hmm. You know, if you supposed to have church and state separate, you shouldn't have all those things in it. Because it's too many different religions and too many different things if we're supposed to be a quote-unquote all-inclusive free country.
I don't think it has. I know what you're saying about the religious part of it. I just think, like what you mentioned, Mike, about power. And it's about taking a piece. This is just the start. So if you can overthrow Roe versus Wade, then what's next? Interracial marriage? Remember, that was a crime at one point. Gay and lesbian rights?
That's, can I just jump right in and just say, let's just take it to the real one. I said the 25th Amendment. Let's keep it all the way. You think that is not up there for them to try to take away?
Yep.
They're taking away. Think about what they're doing right now with all the gerrymandering in all these different states. Mm-hmm. They're literally taking the right for black and brown people to have to fight to vote, to the point where, I don't know many people listen, in New York we have a place called Long Island. You have to literally go across a bridge and go about another 30 miles away to another place called Westchester. They have now grouped Westchester and Long Island in the same jurisdiction.
Whoa.
That's impossible. It makes no physical. So what? If I live on the water, can I vote? Like, I don't know. Does the water get a vote? Because this makes no sense.
I mean, if you have a really nice boat, you should be able to vote. If you're going to be right there. Like,
nice yacht.
That's a good yacht. So I think there's a few different pieces. One, you have the framing around how some looked at text law, like specifically what is actually written in the Constitution versus the intent of Congress. And Alito is of this mindset of believing, and I think it's completely wrong, that Congress did not intend to give you all these rights.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's foolishness. It's nonsense. To the religion comment, as someone who preaches, I agree that religion is used as a weapon way too often. The dynamic of Christianity and Judaism and Islamic faith and Buddhist and all, everyone should have a space to be in the room. This is about Christian conservatives, mm-hmm. who are trying to use it for their advantage. We got to be very specific about that.
Correct.
Who, you know, and I always love battling with the Republicans about faith because they're not used to someone who actually understands things. I'm like, first of all, Jesus was a Jewish man of color, right? We got to start there. Like, Jesus was not a white man, right? It's just actually impossible to be the case.
Yeah,
right? Like, I mean, it's just one of these things. And when you think through the dynamics of how discrimination is always being utilized by picking apart a few verses, it's because people are not willing to counter back. Now, I do think something that we do not do well as Democrats is when someone punches you in the mouth, you got to punch them back in the mouth.
Right.
Correct. And you have to be very clear that we're in a moment of what's happening. Now, I always, you know, like to pause and give honor to Queens in the Spaces, right? Like, we talking about what's going on with women, and we have a sister here on the panel, right? So, like, for me, I would prefer to understand how is this impacting in the dynamic of what's going on, because we could talk about all the policies we want, but the reality is it's men trying to tell women what to do.
Exactly.
And that, to me, is the most absurd.
And it's old.
It almost makes you feel like a piece of property still, as a woman. And that's a disgrace. I mean, how long have we been working towards getting away from that? You know, I don't think that's fair. Would men like it if women were like, oh, no, you're my piece of property?
No.
I'm going to tell you what to do.
Now, the pimp game.
I'm going to tell you what haircut
is
to do.
Far past
I'm
going to
tell, like, no.
No, but that's how right. they look at But that's how they look at it. Because remember, women didn't have rights back in the days.
That's right.
And then you turn around, you trying to tell her how to control her body. The one thing that I look at this whole thing as well is I laugh at it because it's ridiculous to me. Because if you're telling the person that they're going to have this baby, by no matter what, you like I was saying, there was another old talk show host, and she still does her stuff there, named Nicole Sandlers. She always said this one thing, save the fetus, starve the child. And that makes me go crazy, because I'm like saying, okay, yes, you're going to save the fetus, but then you don't want to give no health care.
Yeah.
You don't want to give no food. You don't want to give. And then if these women having a baby out of rape, then you're going to have some type of psychiatry stuff and everything else, and they don't want to give any
mental
of that.
Health.
So it's, and then, you know, you just look at all this stuff that's compiling on to have these kids. The next biggest fearful thing that I have about that is that if you have these people having kids and can't get abortions, then the next thing you're going to turn around is that, okay, too many people of colors having kids, time for sterilization.
Well, and there's a lot of elements here. So first, it's important for the listeners, viewers to know that if you choose to have an abortion, it is still legal in this country. Like, do not allow for the confusion of a leaked opinion, because there are people that believe right now that you cannot go down that road, right? Like, they actually think things have not changed.
Right.
And it would be going to the states, right? And so that is why there's a lot of funds that are now being stood up in many states to say to women, you want to pursue this, we're going to protect you in that manner. That's one. Two, it does say a lot that the justices were more upset about a leaked opinion. And I do want to say there is a lot of problem in the process that an opinion is leaked.
Right.
But they were more upset about the opinion being leaked than the actual opinion. Yeah. Right. And then three, when we think about the sequencing of it all, like, this is going to happen at the end of June. And so you're in a scenario where this will be the dominant topic going into the rest of this year. And the irony in many ways is that you have, again, a truly wrong decision that is coming down the pike, while simultaneously you have a baby formula shortage happening.
It's
so surreal that we're having this conversation and what's going on, because we are actually saying point blank to women, you don't matter. That is what the Republican Party is saying. And if people are not willing to be that direct, like, I've never understood this notion. Look, I'm a cat from the Bronx all day, every day, but I'm very passionate about politics. And I do not understand when folks say, well, I don't want to vote. Well, then who the hell's going to, these are the folks that are messing with you.
Right.
All these cats, you keep saying, well, I don't want to vote. It doesn't matter. This is what's happening right now, right in front of your eyes, you know, in every possible way. And so lastly, you know, you have rallies that are happening on of course, May 14th across the country. We have to do more than just rally, right? You have to recognize, again, this is about power. You mentioned, Kev, about interracial marriage. The irony that Clarence Thomas's wife was texting repeatedly to the chief of staff at that time about how to stop the person that won in Joe Biden to become president, purely to support an insurrection, right? Like, again, we are at a space that we cannot keep acting like this is some random movie.
Yeah.
Because if you think democracy is just available for everyone, look at what's going on in Ukraine right now.
You mentioned something, and again, we're talking to Michael Blake.
Can we talk about the sneaker game for a second? I'm chilling with the Kohan. But I mean, I have been looking down. That y'all came very strong.
Well, Broyo's got a strong guy that
not me though. Yeah.
No,
sorry.
This is a vibe. This is a vibe.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I get mine from the store. I don't know about anybody else. I come from the store.
Broyo's got a guy that's got a guy that. Let's take a break. I want to come back because I want to talk about that, because I think sometimes we are in a numb state and you mentioned about the voting. I want to get on that. Michael Blake, Nappy Lounge, come on back.
Good afternoon. This is Natalia Fernandez, a candidate for Bronxboro president here with the best team in radio, the 950 Lounge.
We're back on the Ride 950 Lounge. We're talking about Michael Blake. We're talking about heavier things, obviously, Roe versus Wade. But I kind of wanted to jump in. You kind of pivoted to the point where people are not voting. And we know, obviously, we're here in New York, the Bronx to be exact. And it seems like people want to find every excuse in the world not to be part of the process. We talked about this last week. We had Natalia Fernandez on, and we talked about people becoming numb through media. Now, again, I love a good TV show every once in a while. We all get caught up in the realities of that, and Twitter, and Instagram, and the Johnny Depp trial, all that stuff, Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian. But it seems that our demo primarily has become numb to it, where we get more caught up. We know what's going on with all the celebrities at the Met Gala, but yet we kind of ignore what's happening in our world. And it's almost like a crime being happening in broad daylight. They're actually robbing the place in broad daylight. They're doing these things right in front of your eyes. And it's like even my age, I'm like, it saddens me that you won't step up to the plate, but yet you're worried about, you know, what's happening with your favorite artist. Your thoughts on that, being somebody who's been in the process, been in somebody who's been on those lines. How do we get people to start to look at, if you don't fight for your rights, then it won't happen?
We have to treat it from the back end, you know, we would always say, find your why, right? People like to be happy. Mm-hmm. People like to be entertained. People like to feel better. If I'm watching a Met Gala, I'm seeing what artist is at the game. I'm seeing all that. You just feel better about that. It is. You could have nothing going right in your life.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you see your favorite artist turning up. You're like, oh, everything is all good.
Right.
But like, wait a minute. You don't have a job. You got no car, no house, nothing. But
50 credit.
I mean, everything. But my IG is rocking. Oh, okay. Well, that, you know. And so at the end of the day, we don't treat policy in that way because folks don't feel like anything is making me feel better from what you're doing. Even though it is, we do a really bad job of making that connect, right? And so in this moment, you know, people driving around, things are truly better in this country. However, when gas prices are going up, then folks are like, well, I'm not really feeling all this.
Inflation,
right?
Everything.
Then it's hard to process anything else. So what we have to do is be much more practical of saying, like, look, things are not perfect, but they're better, right? And I would say President Biden would say this all the time about, you know, the former president. I don't say the former president's name because he's a convict, but in that vein, right? Right. I'm just saying just a little bit, right? Is, you know, do not compare me to the almighty. Compare me to the alternative, right? And you have to remind people that everything you do in your life is impacted by policy,
right?
Literally everything. But you got to make it more practical on the ground, on the block, because I think if we don't, when we get to November, what are people going to be remembering? They're not going to remember that Biden truly saved the economy. They're going to remember, oh, my gas prices are high. They're going to remember, like, my money's not going as far as it went. Yeah. And they're going to blame who they seem to be in front of them. Mm-hmm. At the same time, they'll talk about what's good, what they think is good. Last thing, I know you want to say something, but last thing is, like, the combination of what's going on in politics and in Black America is very concerning to me, because you have some candidates who are clowns. You got one that's running in Pennsylvania right now, a Black woman who's running for U.S. Senate, who has said just truly absurd things over the years. Just like, oh, gay people. She said something along the lines of, everyone does not have equal moral rights, right? Just internalize that, right? And she is currently third in the polls, and she's only about 4 points behind Dr. Oz and David McCormick. When you have Herschel Walker,
Jesus,
who lies about did he actually graduate, where did he actually live, any of these different things, being competitive in a U.S. Senate race.
A man who acknowledges that he's got multiple personalities.
Like, it demonstrates where we're at, where people feel like, I'm happy to be entertained rather than to be actually better.
Right.
My question, just like you said, it's easy to blame the person that's in front of you, but instead of blaming the person that preceded that person. But a lot of, they did, I was watching CNN, and they did a poll with people that did vote for Biden. And they asked, would you re-vote for Biden in the next couple of years? And a lot of them said no. And they said, well, why would you not? Well, because of this, because of that. But then the lady gave a flip side. The reason why Biden took the job, he knew what he was dealing with. But it's easy to blame the person that's in front of you instead of the person that preceded him.
That's right. Well, you also have a scenario where you're not comparing the president to a Republican candidate at that point, right? Like, so people are just like, well, I'm not feeling what's going on, so I'm going to blame who's right in front of me.
Because
right?
It's easy.
Because that's the easy thing to do. But, you know, I do think when you're in a scenario where whoever the Republican nominee is, they're going to have to defend all of this foolishness, right? Like, we're going to get to a space in 2024 where a Republican is going to have to get up for the sake of where their party is and say they support this foolishness of Roe v. Wade. They're going to have to get up and say, you know what? It was Biden's fault what happened with Russia, Ukraine. Like, absolute absurdity that the common sense person can be like, oh, I can't get down with. But what we have to do, well, first, you shouldn't just watch CNN. You should watch Next Level Sports and Entertainment. But, you know, that's my plug right there. But, you know, but like in that zone, NLSE.com. But we'll come back to that. But if you want to do, like, how we have to communicate with folks,
right. We
got to make it real plain. Right. At the end of the day, you have a Republican Party right now that is saying, if you are not a straight old white man, we don't care about you. That is truly what they're communicating, mm-hmm. right? And you have to make it that crystal clear. Like, if you are not in this category, to the point it was raised about 25 minutes, they are saying, we are fine taking your rights away. And I don't care if you have $5 in your pocket or $5 million. No one ever wants to be in a scenario where someone else is taking their right away.
So, Mike, why right. can't the Democrats just say, just like you said, well, why do we dance around?
Because I think we overthink policy and presume people will just understand it. Right? As opposed to just like, yo, let me be real clear with you. Like, it's okay. How'd you make more money last year? Because we could put, you know, the greatest cut to child poverty in the history of the country happened under Joe Biden. Now, folks be like, oh, well, Democrats didn't do anything. Well, who the hell did that? He Democrat, right? Yeah. You know, but I think we allow the other side too often to dictate the terms.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you got to be much more. And I also think, I'm going to add in race and gender in this. I think that obviously we are much more diverse in the Republican side. Mm-hmm. And too often we have been conditioned in this country that it's wrong to speak up, right? It's wrong to push against the system. So even though the system is doing everything against you, you know, don't rock the boat, you know, because they're going to come after you. They're going to do something to you. They're going to do all these things that are bad against you. No, but they're the ones doing it. Well, but, you know, just chill out, mm-hmm. you know, just fall back. And I think now we're in a zone where, you know, again, I think this year in 2022, but definitely 2024, you have to compare people to who they are.
Mm-hmm. See, the thing is that I look at is I agree with you, what you're saying. The thing that I look at a little bit extra is that the Democrats are looking at the old ways of playing the game because they're looking at shaming. And I'm like saying, how can you shame the shameless? Because there's no more such thing as shaming
like
anymore.
Yeah. In the face.
Yeah, it's no more shaming anymore because these guys, because, I mean, Donald Trump wasn't the problem. He's a symptom. And he came in after the Tea Party and all of them got established. And now he showed them another level that, hey, you can lie and deny and still go ahead and get the people that you want. And that's what these guys are doing now.
Yeah, but and that's why making it, again, entertaining and changing democracy. You know, First Lady Obama is doing the When We All Vote, doing the Culture of Democracy Summit in L.A. In June. And it's going to have a lot of entertainers. It's going to be live. It's going to be a Bank of America Stadium in L.A. Why? Because you got to make politics live, right? You gotta show people, hey, this actually matters in your life, and that it's not some just boring, random topic that you see on TV here and there, and that there are consequences. And look, I think, again, if you make it clear on the block, like you talk this on the block, yo, there's a consequence if you act up, mm-hmm. right? That's how it has to be right now. There is a consequence if Republicans take control.
Correct.
This is no longer like, I'm wondering if this is going to be bad. It really not going to be that bad. No, this is going to be all kind of Armageddon.
But is it really?
You with me right now?
I get what you're saying.
Is it really, though? Because it's like they're getting away with, excuse my French, they're getting away with bloody murder at this point.
Well, that was very nice.
I say it like that, but they're getting away with bloody murder. They can get away with anything. Got dummies doing dumb stuff, getting away with it. You got people doing more dumber stuff and getting away with that.
It's not necessarily getting away with it. I know, Steve, you're going to come down. Yeah. It's not getting away with it.
Right.
It's a mindset in the Republican Party that if they agree with it, it's not getting away with it. Because for them, in their mind, I agree with this. Mm-hmm. They truly, and this goes back to media, they have been conditioned that this is fine. Now, at the end of the day, the consequence of not letting someone get away with it is beating them.
Nah, I hear you. But now, for instance, they're subpoenaing people to come in, and Republicans are like, nah, I'm not coming. Do something with me. I don't care. And they're not doing nothing. So
that's not true. I mean, they're being held in contempt. I mean,
they're held in contempt, but where are they going? Nothing. They're still doing their regular jobs. They're still doing their regular lives.
Well, you're not doing a regular job if you're held in contempt. That's illegal. I mean,
right. They should be going to jail.
Well, then at the end of the day, then the authorities have to pursue.
But that's what I mean.
So I'm going to just bring this back to the pandemic for a moment. Absolutely. Because, you know, we're talking about rights. Okay. So during the pandemic, you know, you had these mandates, you know, and everyone in the city who was a city worker was mandated to get vaccinated, right? And everybody has their own belief system, whether they should or, you know, and shouldn't, whatever. I think everyone's entitled to that. But to mandate everybody to do something that they don't want to do or believe in, and then no one's really speaking out about it, everybody's just complying rather than speaking on their true feelings, it's just showing how much control is happening from our own government. And it's quite unbelievable how many people did not even really come forward to step up to the plate to express, you know, how they feel in regards to the situation. Yeah, and it was a huge event that affected the entire country. But at the end of the day, you know, we were talking about women's rights and whatnot, but that all ties into the same thing in a certain sense, because our choice is not there, or people are, the lack of people even choosing to stand up for themselves is not there because they think that the government controls everything.
I feel you. So I think the premise point of control, I hear that point. My counter on that as it relates to the vaccinations is, who has kids here? Anybody got kids?
None of us.
Nobody?
None
that I know of, right?
None that I can claim.
Yeah, that you can.
All treated fair.
Yeah, and still.
Oh, help me, Jesus, right now. Okay. For your nieces, nephews, godchildren, et cetera, they had to get vaccinations to go to school.
Yes.
I have not seen the parental uproar about that. If you travel internationally, a lot of places, you actually have to get particular shots to go there.
Right, right.
And so, to me, the argument that was being made was certainly not about the science, right? And it certainly wasn't about, have you agreed to the government saying you need to do these things? It was a argument around, I don't believe you should be telling me what to do because Trump, the Republican, and the party have created a dynamic of being told that you don't have control is bad. Because we have all ceded control for what we thought was the greater good. We do it every single day.
Yeah.
So to me, now, if someone says, like, you look at Kyrie, if someone's like, I don't want to get vaccinated, yep, that's your absolute choice. But there are consequences. Right? There are consequences. Because if you're making a decision that the health of others does not matter in a pandemic, right? I think it's different if it's like a common cold or something like that. We're talking about like something that's like truly killing everybody off.
But here's the problem. It's not consistent throughout the U.S. Do you know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is, for instance, you live in New York City. Mm-hmm. You have to be vaccinated in order to even work. You know what I'm saying? You go to Westchester County and some people are, I mean, they weren't even pushing it as hard as they were in New York City. Do you think that that's fair?
It is. I mean, because that's the consequence of elections, right? Like,
I get what you're saying.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, at the end of the day, right? Like, it's hard for me to, in this specific instance, to wonder what is the truly genuine pushback when we have regularly accepted the government telling us what to do when it comes to healthcare, as it relates to vaccinations. It'd be different if it was like, man, you know, I've never gotten down with it. Okay, well then you do what you gotta do. But I also think in terms of when we say, you know, across the board, different jurisdictions, yeah, you know, different leadership made different decisions. I would much rather be in a New York than what was going on in Florida and these other states, where their decision, they fully understood more people are going to get sick and likely die from that. Yes. But I hear the point. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, look, there's a variance, right? There's always going to be variance when it comes to policies. And mm-hmm. that is the beauty of us living in a democracy right now.
See, the other thing that you got to look at as well is this. This was a worldwide pandemic. And then on making the things, think about like when they had smallpox, when they had the Spanish flu, they made sure that everybody had to get vaccinated. No matter what it was, you're going to get vaccinated because it was a mandatory thing that was made by the government. And it's just one of those things that, you know, safety first and see what happens from it, especially when they did it. But it was just that, like what Michael said, was that it was just a lot of different narratives that was put out. And then what made it kind of harder was that you had the top of the list telling other things that was just not really being pushed. This is being pushed out more than what it should have been pushed out.
I mean, again, let's add in the dynamic, right?
Like, no, I can't say that.
When you have a white supremacist in chief, which is what the former president is and was, literally lying to people for the sake of trying to win an election. I mean, let's just make sure, like,
yeah.
we just got to just tie it to where it was at, right?
Correct.
Where, and this is why I'm acknowledging the point, right?
Mm-hmm.
This man was telling people not to do these things, but then when he got COVID, he got the best treatment in the world.
Facts.
Right, like got everything possible, but then it's telling people, don't go do these things. Because of the concern of, I don't allow you or want to allow you to believe that government is good because it's for his benefit.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
And I think that is the broader dynamic that's happening here. One. Two. Like, I look at when I'm on the train, like, I'm still that kid. I have it in my pocket. I have my mask, my K95, and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a good health argument that someone's going to make about why wearing a mask is bad. Right? There's really no good mm-hmm. health argument on that. If someone's like, I don't want to wear a mask because I don't want to wear a mask, fine. But then understand, you put yourself in a position. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's the seeding of control, and that's the seeding of the dynamic. But I think it does go back to, I think it's all entwined around Roe v. Wade, voting. This is about power.
Right.
This is about people feeling like you, whatever that you is, are taking my power away, and I'm going to reject that. But again, 99% of the time in your life, you've already been ceding it to someone else. You see that when you talk about the cars you drive in, you know, the schools you go into, the places you live in. Like, you have made a decision that you believe some collective can make a better decision because they will have more information there. That's what I'm saying. So, like, we do it every single day with the belief of the greater good.
Correct.
Right? So if we do believe that, then if you're in a scenario of, like, if – the like when I would hear, well, we don't want to have the vaccines because black folk can get sterile. Yes, I understand what happened in Tuskegee. I understand the history of it all, right? But again, you gotta assess facts with reality and ask yourself, who's pushing these messages, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was people who understood, I'm going to push the message for the intent of dividing up black and brown folks so that you all will stay in this space so that we could have a chance for success.
We'll take a quick break and keep this thing moving. Michael Blake, Nafi Lounge, come on.
Let's just go right back.
There's really no good mm-hmm. health argument on that. If someone's like, I don't want to wear a mask because I don't want to wear a mask, fine. But then understand, you put yourself in a position,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the seeding of control, and that's the seeding of the dynamic. But I think it does go back to, I think it's all entwined around Roe v. Wade, voting. This is about power. This is about people feeling like you, whatever that you is, are taking my power away, and I'm going to reject that. But again, 99% of the time in your life, you've already been ceding it to someone else. You see that when you talk about the cars you drive in, you know, the schools you go into, the places you live in, like, you have made a decision that you believe some collective can make a better decision because they will have more information there. That's what I'm saying. So, like, we do it every single day with the belief of the greater good.
Correct.
Right? So if we do believe that, then if you're in a scenario of, like, if the like when I would hear, well, we don't want to have the vaccines because black folk can get sterile. Yes, I understand what happened in Tuskegee. I understand the history of it all, right? But again, you got to assess facts with reality and ask yourself who's pushing these messages, right? Mm-hmm. And it was people who understood, I'm going to push the message for the intent of dividing up black and brown folks so that you all will stay in this space so that we could have a chance for success.
Okay, cool. Quick break. We'll keep this thing moving. Michael Blake, Nafi Lounge, come on.
Let's just go right back.
Sugar boom boom, I'm chasing dragon. This dragon's got my hand. Sugar boom boom, I'm robbing people, but I'm an honest man. Sugar boom boom, I'm chasing dragon. This dragon's got my hand. Sugar boom boom, I'm robbing people, but I'm an honest man.
Let me tell you straight up, homie, this story's not rehearsed. Done my share of drogas, but with this I'm feeling cursed. Done a little tempo, paid for my crime. Got out on healthy, now parole's going just fine. Smoke a little, yes, God, no more black sand. Gotta feed me Holly, cause now I'm an honest man.
Sugar boom boom, I'm chasing dragon. This dragon's got my hand. Sugar boom boom, I'm robbing people, but I'm an honest man. Sugar boom boom, I'm chasing dragon. This dragon's got my hand. Sugar boom boom, I'm robbing people, but I'm an honest man.
Met a chick named Anna on my way to work one day. She had me hypnotized, I tried to pull away. Find little Morena, black on black, even her eyes. Yeah, homie, she's a fine one, but the devil in disguise. Handed me a bendo, dropped the substance on some for y'all. She lit the flame as I inhaled the dragon just unhooked.
Sugar boom boom, I'm chasing dragon, this dragon's got my hand. Sugar boom boom, I'm robbing people, but I'm an honest man. Sugar boom boom, I'm chasing dragon, this dragon's got my hand. Sugar boom boom, I'm robbing people, but I'm an honest man.
It's 3 days later and I haven't been to work. She's left me stranded with cold chills in violent church. Thinking of a come up quick so I can feed my habit. I saw this guy at ATM, now it's time to chase that dragon. Ran up on this vato as he gets close to his car. I was in full stride when the cops rolled by, hit this vato with my ball.
Sugar boom boom, I'm chasing dragon, this dragon's got my hand. Sugar boom boom, I'm robbing people, but I'm an honest man. Sugar boom boom, I'm chasing dragon, this dragon's got my hand. Sugar boom boom, I'm robbing people, but I'm an honest man.
This is Royo and you listen to the best team on radio, 950 Lounge.
We're back on the Ride 950 Lounge. We're chopping up the mic away on a bevy of subjects. And during our break, Steph and Mike had a conversation. I'll let you lead the way, Steph. Please. The floor is yours.
It's a touchy subject, you know, with everyone having so many different beliefs. You know, I just think that the entire U.S., I mean, along with the rest of the world, have gone through so much. And then to all of a sudden say, oh, pandemic is done. We're done. We're over with. Okay, no more of this happening. No more, you know, mask wearing, whatever. I mean, you still have to wear it on public transit. But it's kind of like, what just happened here? What happened here? It was a big thing for like 2 years and now boom, gone? Why? Why? Because it's not gone. Numbers are up apparently. So it then becomes a question as to what is this really about? Is it about the power in the background? Is it about the American people and or the people in general around the world? Like it's, what is it? I feel like so many people are just ignoring the fact that there's something larger happening in the background, and people aren't really speaking up in regards to what is happening, because, you know, it's like everybody just wanted to quickly get back to some normalcy, and then we're back to some kind of normalcy all of a sudden. It just seems so bizarre to me, you know, like, and people don't question those things. They don't ask what's going on. I feel like we're just so what's the word? So
conditioned?
Confused? No, just sidetracked by social media, you know, even regular cable news. There's so much happening, and people are not looking.
Network,
so yes, I know, which yeah, we, yeah, yeah, okay.
Next sports entertainment, yeah. The only black-owned sports network in the country. We'll keep going.
I don't really know what I'm getting at, to be honest with you. But what I'm saying is my concern for, you know, the general public and the decisions that we're making, and not being conscious that, you know, of what's actually going on.
So I'm intrigued, and I also saw the head nodding. So what is it that you believe is the underlying thing then? Because you actually shook your head that you don't think it's about the American people. So, like,
no, it's not. What isn't. It's, I just feel like there's a lot of political agenda on everything, you know, and a lot of brainwashing and conditioning society in general to think that certain things have to be a certain way. And it's not fair. Like me, I'm not going to go into certain things. I feel a certain way, and I make my own decisions a certain way, and I feel like I have that right to do so without being, you know, looked at differently. But then again, you know, it's 2022. You know, people are always going to have something to say.
It's okay, Mike, we'll be here, okay?
Yes.
I will respond.
Thanks,
Kev. I will respond, but I just, because I could see.
Because
I could see there was an agreement without saying, so I'm like, I am truly trying to understand.
We go to this every week.
No, I like it, but like, yeah.
So,
what is the underlying that you think is happening?
It's politics. They don't care about the people.
Exactly.
There was a social cleansing. That's what the pandemic was. Too many people on the earth. We got to figure out a way to get rid of everybody. Easiest way to get rid of everybody, cause a pandemic, clear out over 730 something thousand Americans.
At least went over a million.
Oh, we went over a million now in America?
Yeah, we over a million.
In the world?
In America.
Oh, so America's over a million. So that means everywhere else is probably running around. Another 2 million, something like that. So we've lost 3 million people in 2 years, basically. Social cleansing. The governments knew they had to do it. There's too many people here. Can't afford to have everybody here. Don't have enough food for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Think about it. Who do you take off? Who's the easiest group of people you take off to alleviate the system? People that are riding on the system. Who was the pandemic set for? Those who are seniors. Who did it take off the system? Several seniors.
So you're saying that you think it's somebody created. This is a
creative. Oh, no, it's a planned event.
Yes,
Obama
absolutely.
Said in 2016 when he left, in 4 years, you're going to go through another pandemic. Please be prepared for it.
Okay, let Mike answer.
Okay. Am I wrong? I know he said it.
Hot seat.
I will lovingly say the way you just framed it is absolutely inaccurate.
I agree with that.
Okay. I'm glad you just acknowledged what you just said was wrong.
Well, he did say it, though.
He said that there will be future pandemics.
In 4 years. But he did say 4 years.
He said there'll be future pandemics to prepare for. So let's make sure we're
actually. I'm going to go back and check that. Then
as the person that worked for the president, I'm telling you what you just said was not right. Right? Like, so I'm just saying. Okay, right? So I think there's a deeper dynamic of. If there's the sentiment, I'm not going to disagree with the sentiment. If the sentiment is social cleansing, the numbers would not justify that, right? Like, we're talking about 340 million people that live in this country, a million that were lost, that were overwhelmingly lost because of horrendous Republican policy. If it was really about social cleansing, why would Biden change the policies, right? Like, if it was truly that, right? Like, there'd be no reason for vaccinations. There'd be no reason for...
Well, what about Big Pharma?
Big Pharma existed before this.
No, but they're continuously making millions.
That's why I want to be, and I'm respecting it. If the sentiment and the concern is entities that have been making money that I don't like, I honor that. But do I believe that the underlying reason for COVID was a social cleansing? Absolutely not. Right? But do I think that the dynamics are a lot at play? I think it's a very clear black and white, right? Like you had a scenario where one party and one leader actively tried to tell people to deny the reality of what was happening. Now, we're talking about global social cleansing, the argument that's being made. There are many countries. I think North Korea had like its first COVID case they announced like this week, right? Like, right. So,
yes.
And there are many countries that had zero cases for months because they went on immediate lockdowns and that. Now, when we talk about what's happening here in the city, in the States, like I think a lot of folks, there were mental health issues that emerged when people are sitting at in home for 2 months or 2 years rather. Mm-hmm. I think you get to a point where folks were like, look, I want to get back out. I don't think it's healthy for people to sit in their houses all day long. Mm-hmm. So then you have a scenario like, well, how do you get back out? Okay, well, you get vaccinated and or you wear a mask. And if it was about trying to harm the people, it wasn't just seniors. It's people who had deeper respiratory issues and other things like that, right? Like these vaccines were for free. So I do think there are elements of the system that are bad, right? 100%. I'm not disagreeing with that. But I think that the sentiment that the two of you are sharing, which I respectfully don't agree with, but I acknowledge, is rooted in we as a society have led to people to feel like governments don't care about you. Mm. Like, to me, that means as someone who is in politics, I have failed you if you do believe that multiple global powers came together for the intent of killing off a bunch of people to control what's going on here, right? Because that means we've allowed that sentiment to exist, even though so many things are happening that are actually good for people. That's the deeper dynamic that's there. But I honor what's being said, right? Because millions of people believe that.
But there are people.
Millions. It's not a few. Like, this is like, there are many people that truly believe what was just said itself. Right?
Yeah.
Casualty of war. That's what they are calling it.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I mean, you, and again, this is how media is intertwined with institution. Like, you look at what's going on in Russia, Ukraine, right? Like, there's enough examples of Russians who are straight up like, oh, the Ukrainians are the ones attacking us. Mm-hmm. Because that is what has been communicated, right? And I think that's very similar here, right? There's a similar dynamic of you all have not done what it is to be done to help us as a people, right? You know, you don't give us quality food. You don't give us quality schools. You know, we have poverty. We're not making money. The big 1% is always winning, right? Mm-hmm. And so we create that dynamic. That's there, but I want to honor the conversation because, like, if there's more, that's a conversation.
Because my thing is that I look at is like this, and I understand where you're two coming from. I understand where you're two coming from with that.
Ebony,
but my aspect of the whole thing is basically the environment, because the environment is changing. And, you know, like with the melting of the polar caps and all this other stuff like that, you don't know what other diseases are coming out that's spreading around.
Well, there's always diseases that have been happening. I mean, let's make it real practical, right? Like, the last few times that I did the show with y'all, we did it over Zoom and video. Like, we get to a point where folks are like, we want to get back out again.
Right.
That's just the reality of human beings. Mm-hmm. That's one. Two, when SARS and everything else and H1N1 all was happening, and folks, and this goes, this is a racial comment that of discrimination that we've allowed. When folks would see the East Asian community wearing masks, other places, they're like, oh, they crazy.
Yeah.
They crazy. I mean, why the hell are they wearing these masks?
Right. No,
let me tell you something. I go on these trains, I'm wearing my mask. Right? Because I don't know. I want to live.
Yeah.
And I'm in a car.
and so in that dynamic.
Yes.
I do think one way we help turn the tide of the sentiment is if more of the profit went back to the people when these pandemics happen, right? Because then folks would start feeling like, all right, y'all not just doing this to make money and to kill us off. There is obviously a pimping of poverty that we know has existed for centuries, right? So we're not lost on that. But I do think it, ironically, it goes back to what we've been talking about the whole time.
Yeah.
The perception of control and power is rooted in everything we've talked about right now.
Yeah.
Of, I feel that Yah, whoever the Yah is, don't give a damn about us. Right? And so because of that, you know, I'm going to push back.
It always comes back to who's on first. No doubt about it. Michael, we can't thank you enough, man. This is, again... You know, brother, listen, I reach out, and when you got time, you come through, because this is what people need to hear. This is the food, this is the gourmet that people need to eat, because, again, there are people who are intelligent, educated, and they're still believing this stuff, and we need somebody with common mind, common conversation to break it down. Mm-hmm. Real quick, man.
Like you said, we definitely need to speak on it, but you see, politics is a never-ending conversation. You could go on constantly 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's trying to come to a neutral ground. And that's the problem with Democrats and Republicans and incumbents. They can't seem to come to a common ground.
Before we get out, I think it comes down to being people. Okay? Whatever your political party, that's always going to be a conversation, right? But being people, this is something that affects everybody. Brown, yellow, green, whoever you are is affected.
But also, one more thing. Okay. I always felt this between the Democrats and Republicans. Even the Democrats go against each other. But the Republicans seem, even if I'm a Republican, and Mike is just using an example. Me and Mike are Republican. I don't agree with Mike said, but I will go with him because that's my party. Whoa. Democrats would still...
Stay with it, though. Mm-hmm. Why do you think Republicans... What do you think the real reason Republicans stay together?
Personally, I think it's like a gang.
But because of what? What do you gain when you stay together?
Power. And the Democrats seem to... Like, for instance, what's the guy from Virginia? Joe?
Manchin.
He's like, a lot of people say he's not going with the grain. But Republicans, regardless, they don't like what's going on with the next person saying, they go with the grain. Then later on, you hear him on back mics, and I don't agree with what he just said. You know?
Well, Joe Manchin and Kissinger, they have power because we're at 50-50. And this, again, this is why elections matter.
Mm-hmm.
If Dems were at 51 or 52 or 53 seats,
they wouldn't be mad.
Wouldn't even matter, right? So, like, I mean, that's why it's all intertwined right there.
Mike, again, we could talk all day, but then you've got things to do.
It's a 24-hour game.
This network you've been kind of huffing about. Tell us about the network so people can find out and they can get involved.
What is kind of huffing about? What was that?
You see what we say now?
Kind of.
I'm just a part of the show. I'm not saying, in his mind.
Kind of huffing.
You see what I'm saying? You see?
Okay.
Thank you. Now you see what? Not.
No, we definitely do not say kind of huffing at the Medill School of Journalism. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Now, some people say puffing.
Lordy. Okay. No, man. I mean, it is legal. But okay. Next Level Sports and Entertainment, owned by Andre Gudger. I serve as president. We're the first ever and only black-owned national sports TV network in the country. We're in 22 million homes, U.S., 106 million homes globally. We launched an HBCU lacrosse league. They just completed last week. Delaware State won the championship. Football, basketball, billiards. If you're in New York, you can watch us on Verizon, AT&T, DirecTV. dish or, you know, nice. So if you go to NLSC.com, you'll find more information, or It's Next Level is our IG. And when you said how to stay in touch with me, you know, Mike Blake 1922 is the IG, MR Mike Blake on Twitter. We got some more things that are coming down the pike that we'll talk about soon enough.
You know,
that'd be a good cliffhanger right there.
I want to say a proclaimer, he always would say
disclaimer.
Disclaimer. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's better than huffing.
When is 950 Labs going to be on this network? I mean, hey, let's put it out there.
I mean, you didn't know it was going to make deals. You asked me about a deal during the commercial. Okay.
Sometimes things got to be put in front of the camera.
I mean, show me what y'all do around sports. We could talk about sports.
Okay.
We can do that.
Yeah.
We got a sports show. I have a sports show coming out that's Dictator, primarily on HBC. That's for another day.
Did you just yawn about
that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's nap time for Verdeo.
Absolute disrespect.
It is, y'all. I'm coming to Summer League, so I'm trying to get
you.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho.
Oh, my Lord.
My name is Michael Blake. He's a Northwestern grad. Go Wildcats. I'll take a quick break. It's not loud. Come on. And I'm like, I got to do more work for him.
I want to say a proclaimer, he always would say
disclaimer.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's better than huffing.
When is 950 Labs going to be on this network? I mean, hey, let's put it out there.
I mean, you didn't know it was going to make deals. You asked me about a deal during the commercial.
Sometimes things got to be put in front of the camera.
I mean, show me what y'all do around sports. We could talk about sports.
Okay,
we can do that.
Yeah,
we got a sports show. I have a sports show coming out that's Dictator, primarily on HBC. That's for another day.
Did you just yawn about that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's nap time for Verdeo.
Absolute disrespect.
It is, y'all. I'm coming to Summer League, so I'm trying to get you.
Anywho.
Oh, my Lord, Lord.
My name is Michael Blake. He's a Northwestern grad. Go Wild.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to the best team in radio. We appreciate you. Whatever you do today, wherever you get started, we're glad you started with us. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace and God bless.